We're in 1 Corinthians 2. As I mentioned, we started a series a while back on the keys to the victorious Christian life. So far, we've looked at five of them, which I'll review quickly. Number one is obedience. You cannot have a victorious Christian life if you're not willing to obey God's commands. Number two is sacrifice. God calls upon all of us to be a sacrifice and to sacrifice for Him. Number three was faithfulness. As stewards, God expects us to be faithful with what He has entrusted to us, which is our talents, our treasure, and of course, our time. God expects us to be faithful. Then, 2 weeks ago, patience and tribulations, how we respond to trials, is one of the keys to having a victorious Christian life. We need to learn to respond with trust in the Lord and not with anger or murmuring or complaining, but to trust God and even thank God for the trials. And then last week, one of the keys is confession. You cannot have a victorious Christian life unless you keep short accounts with God. You've got to always confess as soon as you have sinned and get it dealt with. And of course, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So those are five so far. Today, our key is discernment. Discernment. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. The Bible says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Chapter 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" So our title today is Spiritually Discerned. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now for your wisdom, for your guidance, for your power upon your word in our hearts. Lord, that we would be listening and learning. And Lord, we would understand the importance of having spiritual discernment in our Christian lives. And Lord, that we would put forth the effort to make that a reality in our walk. So thank you for your word. And we pray you'll be lifted up and honored in this time. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Verse 9, beautiful truth there, that what God has prepared for us is greater than we could imagine. Hallelujah. Paul said, "I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us," in Romans 8:18. Peter said, "It's an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and the fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." God has great things in store for us. Amen. And God says we should be looking to that. But until we get there, He tells us that He wants us to be growing in our discernment. Verse 10, "God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things." This is talking about the Holy Spirit. If you're a born-again Christian, He moved in. He made you His temple. And He is there to guide you into all truth. Notice it says, verse 10, "the deep things of God." It's the Holy Spirit that will reveal the truths of the Word of God, that will reveal the deep things of the Lord. Over in chapter 3, verse 2, when he talks about the meat, that's what he's talking about, the deep things. There are many things in the Christian life that are not deep. For example, you must be born again. That's not deep. And many of the doctrines that we understand that are very clear, not deep. But then there are other truths that are, that require us to study, that require us to have spiritual discernment. And this is what God wants from each of us, to graduate from the milk, as we'll see, to the meat, and to be able to grasp the deep things of God. Verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God." Notice it says the things of God. God here is talking about his truths and his word. And he's saying that it is the spirit of God that teaches us the word of God. He was sent, that was one of his purposes for coming to the earth and indwelling us. Let's look at that in John chapter 14 and verse 26. That the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, indwells us, and yes, he's there to convict us. Yes, he's there to be our comforter, but he's also there to teach us the word of God. Notice John 14, verse 26. "But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now look at chapter 16 of John, verse 13. John 16, 13. It says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So we saw the word in verse 14:26, the word teach, and here we see the word guide. So the Holy Spirit is there to teach and to guide us in understanding the truths of God. Now, a lot of people misunderstand what this means, especially the charismatics. They think that what this means is we don't need to study the Bible because the Holy Spirit is there. So he's already just going to show us everything that we need to know, that we don't need to invest the time to study, to meditate in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's there. He'll guide us. He'll show us everything that we need to know. And then, therefore, since he's there to guide us, basically every time they give a prophecy or a tongue or whatever, they can blame it on the Holy Spirit. He guided me. He led me to do it. He led me to say that. And so the Holy Spirit gets blamed for everything. But when God talks about here these Christians at Corinth who were still babes in Christ, they had not graduated up to be men in Christ or adults in Christ, they had not got their spiritual discernment yet. What made the difference? What made the difference was they weren't willing to put in the work. Now, somebody said to me recently, "Isn't discernment a gift?" Well, it was in New Testament days for certain people. They had the gift of discerning of spirits, but that's not what we're talking about here today. That gift was actually the ability to read people's hearts and their motives. And when somebody stood up and gave a prophecy, a person who had the gift of discerning of spirits could stand up and say, "I have the gift of discerning of spirits," and that person is not speaking for God. I'm kind of glad we don't have that gift today. Amen? Because think about it. Almost the gift to be able to read minds. But that went with the other sign and miraculous apostolic gifts. When they left, that left as well. We're talking here about spiritual discernment. Notice in verse 13, it says, "Which all things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Look at that word, comparing. Now, does that sound to you like something that's automatic or something that we have to work at? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Which is, by the way, one of the great rules of Bible study, isn't it? that we always compare, if we're trying to understand a doctrine or a truth in Scripture, we always compare all the other verses in the Scriptures that teach on that same doctrine to come up with our understanding of that doctrine. We don't just grab one little verse and then run with it and start teaching something if it doesn't line up with the other verses on the same topic. We have to make sure we compare spiritual things with spiritual. And the only way we can do that is to, what? To study. So 2 Timothy 2:15, we'll turn there. And what we find is that spiritual discernment is available to all believers because the Holy Ghost is there to guide us into all truth. However, it is not a gift that's handed to us. We have to work for it. This is the way God designed it. He gave us His Word, but we have a responsibility now to read it and to meditate in it and to memorize it and to study it, which we'll talk about later. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Now, does that sound automatic? Workman? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we're going to compare spiritual things with spiritual, it means we're going to take the time to study this book. God wants us to be people of this book. Amen? Let's look at another scripture, Acts 17:11. The Christians at Berea, God held them up as a great example. These were believers. These were people that had the Holy Spirit. And yet the Bible says, verse 11 of Acts 17, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So Paul here is comparing the Thessalonian Christians to the Berean Christians. And he's saying that the Berean Christians were more noble than the Thessalonian Christians. Why? Because they were willing to take the time to search the Scriptures daily. Whenever they heard preaching, they compared it with the Scriptures. They studied the Bible. The Thessalonians, they just said, yeah, that sounds good. Kind of like most Christians do all across the world. That sounds good to me. They don't compare, they don't check, they don't study. They just trust that whatever they hear is spot on. And that's never commanded in Scripture. The Bible says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. I know I've beat this up before, but we have to study and we have to memorize the Scriptures if we're going to have spiritual discernment. So let's look at some verses on this. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. The Bible says here, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Now that word disputations is the exact same word that's translated discern in Hebrews chapter 5. And so another definition of disputations could be discernment. And so what God is saying is him that is weak in the faith, those Christians that are still babies in Christ, they're weak, receive them, but you are not to receive their doubtful doctrines. So we draw the line with doctrines. And that's always true in Scripture. Spiritual discernment means that we understand the Scriptures and that when we hear something that's doubtful, we say, that's not of God. That's called discernment. So let's look at the passage in Hebrews 5 and see this same word, this word discern. By the way, the word discern can also be translated judge, which we saw in 1 Corinthians 2:15, which we'll get there. God has, you know, how many times do people abuse Matthew 7:1? Judge not that you be not judged. I mean, probably one of the most well-known verses by the unsaved, right? They love that verse. But we are given permission, as we saw at the end of 1 Corinthians 2, to judge based on doctrine, to judge based on the Word of God. We are given permission. We're actually commanded to do so, to always judge truths and doctrines against this. That's called discernment. Notice Hebrews 5. For everyone, verse 13, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Now, does that word sound like we have to work at it? Unskillful? Sounds like God wants us to be skillful, amen, in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So that word discern is translated disputations in Romans 14, is translated judge in 1 Corinthians 2:15. But notice it says use. Use, that sounds like work to me. We have to put the Word of God to use. And let's look at another one, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Ephesians 4:14. And what God is teaching us in this passage is that we are to have spiritual discernment, but we have to work for it. He is not just going to hand it to us. It'd be nice if we could just pray a prayer and say, Lord, can you just do a download today and just give me the whole word? And I have it all right there. And boom, we have the whole Bible in our hearts. We know it backwards and forwards. Wouldn't that be awesome? Doesn't work that way. Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even of Christ. So, God says he doesn't want us to be children. He's not talking about our physical age. He's talking about our spiritual discernment age. He wants us to what? Grow up. So that we are not tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And by the way, there's plenty of those today, aren't there? I'm amazed. I've been a pastor for 30 years, and in the past few months, I've heard of two new doctrines that I'd never heard of before coming out of pieces of the Independent Baptist movement. It's like, how can this be? One of them is annihilationism, which I'd never heard of before. It's actually creeping into Baptist churches, the teaching that hell's not eternal. And then this new one called reprobate doctrine, which is teaching that homosexuals can't be saved. I had never heard of either one of them before. And the list just keeps getting longer of these winds of doctrine. And Christians are getting tossed to and fro by these things because they don't have spiritual discernment. So let's go back to our 1 Corinthians passage, chapter 2. So that word there at the end of verse 14, spiritually discerned. If you look down at verse 15, it says, but he that is spiritual judgeth. Same word, same Greek word as the word discerned in verse 14. In verse 15, it's translated judgeth. So the next time somebody quotes Matthew 7:1 to you, judge not that you be not judged, just explain that's not talking about doctrine. It's talking about people's hearts. It's talking about their motives. We can't, because we can't read hearts and we can't read motives. But we can compare doctrine to this. And that is what Paul is saying here. He that is spiritual, he that has grown up, he that's not a child anymore, he that's not a babe, as he calls them in chapter 3, judgeth. What? All things, yet he himself is judged of no man. This is what God wants us to get to where we have spiritual discernment and we can judge when we hear something and say, that, you know, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't line up with the Bible. That's not spiritual. That's carnal, as he says here. Look at Colossians 1 and verse 9. And this is one of the keys to the victorious Christian life. Christians who are not tossed to and fro and carried about by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Colossians 1, 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. God wants every Christian to have spiritual understanding. Have you noticed how many times God has already used the word spiritual in this passage? And what He's telling us is that spiritual Christians are Christians that have discernment. Yes, they are Christians that are led by the Spirit as well, but part of being spiritual is having discernment. So let's move on. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. He says, "And I, brethren," so he's not speaking to the unsaved, "could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So another thing he's rebuking the Corinthians about is that they were not growing in their spiritual discernment. They were still babes in Christ. Babes in their understanding, pardon me, of the Scriptures. Thank you, James. That verse we looked at in Ephesians 4, it said, "Henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro." So it's God's will that Christians grow up and become spiritual in their discernment. That's why God gave us His Word. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would. Most of us know verse 16 quite well. It's talking about the inspiration of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Look at verse 17. "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." You see that word furnished? God gave us the word to furnish us in our discernment. Thank you, my brother. Very much. He says in verse 2, 1 Corinthians 3, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it." You know, the book of 1 Corinthians is a book of rebuke. And yet, isn't it fascinating that it is the core book that's used by a huge movement to justify tongues, which has been retranslated to mean a gibberish. But not only that, the Corinthians had to be rebuked for, as we see here, envying, strife, division, immorality, unforgiveness, abusing Christian liberty. Does that sound familiar? Abusing the spiritual gift of tongues. Abusing women in leadership, especially women pastors. Confusion about the tribulation and the resurrection. Well, that's back. Now we got Baptists teaching that the rapture won't happen until halfway through the tribulation. All that's in 1 Corinthians. Paul had to write a lot of these things to correct them, as he says here, because they were babes. That is, by the way, one of the reasons why in the Bible college we make them study 1 Corinthians in detail, because it covers so many doctrines. Doctrines that Paul had to set straight for the Corinthian church. Because, as he says here in chapter 3, they were babes. And they had to be fed milk instead of meat because they weren't able to bear it. But he says in verse 3, "Ye are yet carnal." For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And he takes the rest of the chapter to rebuke them for their carnality. So you and I find ourselves in the age of deception, the last days. 1 Timothy 4 says, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So there are actually doctrines out there that don't come from the Word of God. They come from devils. 2 Timothy 4:4 says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So there are fables about. They're not from the Word, but they're being preached in churches. 2 Peter 2:1 says, there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. This is what God said we can expect in the last days. Damnable heresies, fables, doctrines of devils. How do we protect ourselves from all of this? Spiritual discernment. We have to know the Word of God. Every Christian that's been saved a while should be able to say, yes, I know that I am saved and that I'm secure and that I cannot lose my salvation. Because probably 90% of professing Christians are being taught that they can lose their salvation. Can you prove that you cannot? I hope so. Christians that have discernment should be able to say, I understand how to rightly divide the word. Because I'm commanded to, but I understand that there are dispensations in the Bible and that God's dealings with man changed each time and will change again in the future. God never changes. But the dispensations change. Every Christian should be able to say, I know I'm born again, not because I prayed a prayer, because I trusted the Lord. Every Christian should be able to know that God is not finished with Israel, that God will give them the things He promised them. They will get their kingdom. They will get their land. They have not been replaced by the church. And they should know this. And we could go on and on. But God wants us to have spiritual discernment. And that is something that we have to earn. It is not something He hands to us. And we can only earn it by getting serious about reading and meditating in and memorizing and studying this precious book. David said, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God, against Thee. Are you hiding it in your heart? God said in Joshua, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Are you meditating in the word of God day and night? Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. David said, I delight to do thy will, O my God, because thy words are within my heart. In Psalm 40, verse 8. And we could just spend the rest of the afternoon just talking about the importance of this book in the Christian's life. He wants us to have discernment, which is definitely one of the keys to the victorious Christian life. There are just so many Christians out there, they just don't know their Bibles. And someone comes along and says, I found something new. And they're like, oh, this is exciting. Tell me about it. And they believe it. Because they don't know this. And you know, one of the things that I hear way too much is this phrase. And I hope you don't take it the wrong way. But they're so nice. They're such nice people. I don't care how nice they are. Most Mormons are really nice. But they're still going to lead people straight to hell. Most Jehovah's Witnesses are really nice. And they're going to lead people straight to hell. It's not about who's nice and who's not nice. It's about who's right according to this. So if they're nice, great. If they're sincere, great. But what about this? God commanded us, if you saw it there in verse 15, to judge all things with spiritual discernment based on this. And we're all going to meet nice people that teach and preach false doctrine. And be nice back. We're never commanded to not be nice. We're commanded to be gentle and kind. But we still have to constantly judge truth and doctrine based on the book. Amen? He wants us to have spiritual discernment. One of the keys to the Christian life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for this beautiful passage from 1 Corinthians. And I pray, Lord, that we would get a hold of this truth in our own walk and be willing to put in the work with the guidance of the Holy Spirit to learn the deep things of God. Lord, that we will be grounded in our understanding all of these things that come our way and that try to lead us astray, these doctrines of devils. So, Lord, I pray that each of us would be willing to study, willing to memorize, willing to meditate and read your word, that we will be ready when these things do challenge us and we'll have that spiritual discernment. Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, this sermon wasn't intended for them, but I know the Holy Spirit still spoke to them and pray they'd realize, as Jesus said, they must be born again. And I pray they'd be willing to trust Christ today.